Holy Father, as we come to read your word, we are inspired by the prophets and by the authors, their faith, their understanding. We pray that we too will feel your spirit rest within us as we hear these words. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, can be found on page 837 of your pew Bible. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden under foot by men." This is the word of the Lord. Our reading today is commonly known as the Beatitudes. It is the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And what a wonderful passage as to come to as we enter new ministry together between Plains and Park United. The Beatitudes form an introduction to us. Many approach the Beatitudes as a prescription for our life. If we follow these, then we will live a better life. And there is value in this. But they are not just a prescription. More importantly, they are a description of God's amazing love. We find several places within the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus tells us how we should live, such as loving our enemies, doing unto others, refraining from judgment, and so forth and so on. The Beatitudes, though, serve a very different purpose, for they relay God's great love for those who are suffering. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who have not received justice. Jesus says that those who suffer are blessed. This seems like a very strange statement. One of my seminary professors, Dr. Donald Hagner, writes in his commentary on Matthew that the Greek word used here for blessed means an incomprehensible happiness for those who participate in the kingdom announced by Jesus. Rather than happiness in its mundane sense, it refers to a deep inner joy for those who have long awaited salvation. Now, this seems quite backwards to my understanding of suffering. When I have suffered, I would not describe it as creating a deep inner joy. And when we look at the poor, the humble, the downtrodden, those mourning and who are persecuted, few of us would describe them as blessed. But Jesus does. Why? He not only calls them blessed, he takes it further. For he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, we should note that when Jesus is referring to the meek, he's not talking about the unassertive or the passive. He means those that have been humbled, those who have been pushed down by more powerful people. When we look at our world, though, these are precisely the type of people that have not inherited the earth. How many CEOs of major corporations would you describe as meek? How many politicians would you say have been humbled? It is the powerful and mighty that seem to inherit the earth these days. But Jesus points out that this is not the way that it is meant to be. This is not a part of God's plan. And God has something else in store. Jesus turns from those who are suffering to those who bring mercy, peace, and compassion. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Back in Jesus' day, the Jewish zealots argued for war and military action in order to drive out the Romans and all foreigners from the promised land. In their reading of the Old Testament, they thought that in their faithfulness that they would be sons of God. There was one of these zealots even among the disciples, Simon the Zealot. How do you think he heard this beatitude? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be considered sons of God. And yet Jesus did not exclude him from his circle of disciples. Simon was one of the 12. In these hyper-politicized, polarized society that we live in, it is easy for us to exclude others in which we do not agree with. The problem with this is that it closes us off. Jesus came instead to open our hearts, to open our minds and our lives to the goodness and love of God. Jesus shows us how we, too, should live out peace. Peace with one another. This peace starts by listening, including those with whom we disagree. By hearing them, showing mercy, having compassion. These are the ways of knowing and finding God. Think how better our world would be if we truly listened more than talk. Perhaps that is why God gave us two ears and only one mouth. But unfortunately, we do not live in a world which listens. It is a world fraught with danger, with violence. Military budgets grow exponentially in order to counter dangerous threats within the world. Terrorists convince suicide bombers to blow themselves up in the name of God. North Korea, Russia, and Iran are very real and dangerous adversaries. Communist China forcefully suppresses its people, including those in Hong Kong. Everything that Jesus says in the Beatitudes seems upside down with how things really are within the world. As we look at the world, we see violence and danger. We see things as they are. And then as we come to church, we listen to Beatitudes. So what are we supposed to make of them? Are we supposed to ignore what we know and believe? Are we supposed to believe this upside down world which Jesus presents to us? In college, I remember learning about an experiment where subjects were given special glasses. These glasses had special mirrors that once you put them on, it would flip your perception and everything would be upside down. At first, the subjects, of course, were disoriented and they couldn't walk. They'd be clinging to the walls and to furniture just to be able to walk. The subjects were asked to wear these glasses for a whole month. A few weeks into the experiment, the subjects reported that their brains compensated and turned everything right side up. They reported seeing objects float from the ceiling back down into place where they should have been. And interestingly enough, when they took off the glasses, everything was upside down again. We learned that when an image actually hits our retina, hits our eye, the lens flips it. And the image is upside down, but our brain interprets it right side up. Therefore, we actually do see the world upside down. These special glasses merely turned everything right side up again. The Beatitudes seem upside down just because we are so used to this upside down world. But like those special lenses, Jesus has come to set the world right again. I remember when I was young, if I threw a temper tantrum, my mother would say to me, "Well, it looks like someone needs an attitude adjustment." In the Beatitudes, Jesus is giving us an attitude adjustment. There will always be those who value violence and strength over mercy and compassion. But Jesus reminds us that God has a different plan. We must ask ourselves which plan we wish to follow. Will we follow those who throw temper tantrums in order to get what they want? Or will we see the world as Jesus saw the world? As God truly made the world. The Beatitudes are both prescriptive and descriptive. They are intended to show God's love, which incorporates the poor, the persecuted, the humble, those who suffer. Jesus is not suggesting that we should become poor in spirit, that we should become meek, mournful, and persecuted. But if we find ourselves in these situations, Jesus reminds us that there is a special place in God's heart for us. Jesus has come to set the world right again. It hasn't happened yet. But one day he will return. And when we know, and when that happens, those who have suffered will know that God has a special place for them, that he has heard their cries. But until that time, we know that Jesus stands beside us, encouraging us forward. God does value you. He does understand your suffering. He also encourages us to mirror these actions within our own lives. He wants us to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers. These are the characteristics of a Christian. And we can carry these no matter our situation. For when we show mercy, when we make peace, when we are righteous in our heart, then we begin to see the world as it should be. We see the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. And everything seems right side up once again. So friends, put on the lenses of Christ. See clearly. In your faith and belief, know that you are given a glimpse into the heart of God. If you are suffering, if you are dealing with issues which you cannot make sense of, know that God hears you and has a special place for you within his heart. As Christians, let us await that day where the world will be made right again, where peace, grace, and love will reign forevermore. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen.